Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
And we're back!
And we're back.
Boys Lunch. Oh, it is finals week, and I have never felt more alive, Joey.
I'm feeling good myself. Why am I feeling good? Breakfast pizza! It's the most beautiful day of the year where we get some Casey's breakfast pizza brought in, and it just lightens up my day.
It is a tradition that has gone on for 50 plus years here at Central Catholic.
Breakfast, I think like maybe just past like 4 or 5.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Tell me, on Center Street, there wasn't breakfast Casey's breakfast pizza delivered on the first day of finals.
There could have been.
It is a bold move, I'd say. You know, the greasy slice of breakfast pizza as you're about to sit through multiple finals, but here we are. We made
it. It's the sacrifice we make as
teachers. Try not to fall asleep.
It is tough to, yeah, proctor a test. Being stuck in there for an hour 15. What's up?
Well, welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Joey.
And I'm Paul.
And this is Boys Lunch, two Catholic teachers talking about life.
And as always, you can email us at boyslunch1@gmail.com. Joey's probably going to check that. You can also follow us on Instagram, maybe, probably, if intern Casey is still alive and working the old Instagrams. You can follow us at Boys Lunch Podcast. I do not know.
Casey, if you are still listening, maybe just send us an email at boyslunch1.
Because honestly, with neither of us having Instagram, I don't know if anything has happened.
Just also, like, we're just, what are you up to, man?
Yeah, Casey, are you alive? Just
are
a well
still
check.
Okay. We have no email.
Okay. Shout out to a couple people who have already stopped by. It's finals week. Alec Letstuka coming through. Adam Bonafante. That's Bonafante, right? Bonafante?
Bonafante.
Just
Bonafante.
Florida State.
Yeah. Seminole.
Seminole. And Alex at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas, home of?
Go Ravens.
Amelia Earhart.
Walmart.
There's a Walmart in Atchison? Yeah. They made it. They're on the map.
Yep.
And then also, I miss Teddy Johnson. Teddy Johnson was back, but I did not get to play hockey with him because I was still recovering from the illness.
December has been a mixture of joy and sadness. Joy because we get time with family and friends and we are preparing for the coming of Christ. Sadness because of the rabid illnesses spreading through our households.
It has been nuts.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Zaley contracted everything that's going around.
The triple demic.
Yeah. The triple demic is what they're calling it.
Yeah. I just saw a Yahoo article.
But, yeah, you know what? I think we're all going to be in the clear by the time Christmas. So we can be grateful for that. But I just feel bad for these kids. I mean, we got kids that have just been like hacking up.
Which ones? Our students?
Our students.
No, they're all enough. They'll get over it.
Yeah. I mean,
like at this point, it's like, hey, this is how you like become tough and build character.
Right. Oh, yeah.
When they're 5 or 6, I feel bad for them. Now it's like, hey, get over it.
I'm just like, you're going into finals and you're stressing.
Learn how to blow your nose, okay?
Yeah, neither
of my support our students here.
Neither of my girls really know how, now that I'm talking about my daughters, none of my girls really know how to blow their nose, which I think has led to their nonstop ear infections.
Yeah.
Like, just learn. Come on. We've been practicing. That's what we're at.
Stella had a good one last night to Damien. It's like you're blowing out candles, but through your nose. I think that kid's probably starting to register too. Both of my kids just suck in.
Yeah.
It's like,
there's at one point where I was like covering my Zaley's mouth. I'm like, just breathe out. But I'm like, but not through here.
She's just like passing out. She can't breathe.
Yeah. Push out. Yeah. They're going to get it figured out though.
Yeah.
You know, it's like another great story. When Zaley just surprise vomits on us.
Oh.
Because she just like does not understand the feeling or when one should move to the bathroom. It's just like, hey, I'm standing here.
Yeah, I feel silly.
Like, yeah.
This
feels odd.
Feels weird.
And here's the entire contents of my stomach.
Yeah. We're getting to the tail end of it, hopefully.
Yeah.
Or at least like we're going to hopefully get some meds for ear infections to be like good by the weekend. Our goal has just been like, can we have a somewhat normal Christmas weekend?
This is totally unrelatable. I mean, kids, I don't think in college are going to be able to relate to this, but if there's a black market for amoxicillin right now, if you've got kids under the age of 10,
forget about like the new toy that's not on the shelves. I think like the greatest Christmas need right now is just amoxicillin.
I got sent to a pharmacy I had no idea existed in town.
They're like, yeah, there's like a black market dealer in Gibson City.
Well, I got handed, Mary got handed a an actual written prescription.
Oh yeah, the seller got that last time too.
Like, just like, hey, if you guys get desperate, like, there's a guy out of his truck behind the old post office.
Lanes, okay?
Exactly.
Exactly.
You're not going to go in the front parking lot. You're going to go in the back parking lot, Pheasant Lane.
Tell him Steve sent you.
That's probably where I would sell illegal amoxicillin, behind Pheasant Lanes.
Think about it, though.
I just recorded that. What am I doing? You know, we're sitting in the dark right now, and I feel like I don't know why, I just feel softer. I'm trying to project more because I feel like we're, I don't know. In light. The dark, I just feel.
You feel softer in the dark. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Like the microphone can't hear us because it's dark.
It's a more intimate conversation. It's just you and I just hanging out. Well, I'm glad that you shared with our listeners that we are just recording in the dark together.
Well, I have a skylight. It's not like completely.
You have a skylight that you have shoved old posters in to try to cover the light.
Any of my students, because the best students know, it's just like my lamp projector is not bright enough. So especially in the afternoons, like it's showing the passion or something where there's a lot of dark scenes, you just can't see anything.
Right. Do you know what a normal human being would do when their projector light isn't bright enough?
What's up?
They would contact Jim Hennahan.
Okay, he's coming. I actually talked to him today.
The director of technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because it finally got to the red ring of death.
I understand, but how long has that lamp not been bright enough?
Well, sometimes it is. He changed the light bulb.
Did he?
Like two years ago or something. Okay. I don't remember it.
I was like, that was my problem, that I contacted Jim. He's like, yeah, why didn't you say something sooner?
That's always the case.
I got bulbs on bulbs. He's like, okay.
You know, isn't that true in life? Like, sometimes we're just struggling in sin, and then we go to confession, and God's like, why wouldn't you just come like right away?
I've been here the whole time.
Relatable.
Classic.
It is this is a classic since it's finals. We have more kids just kind of wandering around, trying to get into rooms. Not like, they just want somewhere to sit, to study, or they want to get in early. So we have to hide right now.
That's true.
We care about them, but we also just want our space. You can tell I've been having this conversation with my 4-year-old. I love you and I care about you. I just kind of need some space right now. Anyway,
that's a lot there. Anything else you want to share with them?
Do you have anything new that's been happening? I missed Cisco and Zaylee had their Christmas concert last night.
Oh, yes. Killed it.
Both of them got better in time, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Sienna has hers tonight.
Yep, absolutely.
Damien is still kind of out of commission, so he's going to be missing it. But
yeah, it's beautiful. It was great.
It's a beautiful time of the year. Beautiful. When the community comes together like that to celebrate the reason for the season, Penguins and Boomwhackers, it's just like...
That is a reference that no one will get.
It warms my heart. You're going to tell me that these listeners don't know what Boomwhackers are?
I'm not saying that, but Penguins and Boomwhackers. They just seem like two things that shouldn't mix.
Yeah, whatever. You got anything else going on?
I don't. Just been trying to get the family healthy. God bless my wife and the nonstop illness that she has been surrounded by. So shout out to her.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the wife's been keeping
true heroes in all this.
Real American heroes. What was that commercial?
Real American. What is that?
It's like Budweiser or something?
Yeah. We do not sponsor Budweiser.
Yeah.
We're Miller
Lite. Mostly because they're not giving us free beer. Yeah, the wives have been holding on the fort at home. We go and we try our best.
I mean, they always are, but like, I don't know. First off, man, when we're sick, we're weak. It just feels like we're more dramatic. I am for sure. I guess I'll just speak for myself. But also just like Mary just had no space because like I'm out of commission. She's surrounded by the kids. The kids are also coming down with it.
Yeah.
And she's just like, she has not had space in weeks. So. Thanks be to God. We've got Christmas break coming up.
It'll come.
Yep. She's taking a 2-week vacation, going to Aruba.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, Bermuda, Bahama. I'll cut this out.
No, you won't.
Or do I keep it in?
Is there a Muppet song with that? Muppets music video?
You just lost this.
No, that's fine.
You lost
this. You said you're going to edit this out.
Viewers.
Sorry, we just watched a Muppet Christmas Carol. It's an American classic.
That's no, dude. I cannot do the Muppets.
How can you not? Okay, like the Muppets, take it or leave it. But the Christmas,
take it or leave it. This is your take. You're willing to die on this hill.
They got Michael.
How old are you? Are you gonna be 14 in Fortnite? It's a foreshadowing.
Is it Michael Caine? Michael Caine. They got like a
Batman.
Yeah, but he's Ebenezer Scrooge.
You're thinking of Keanu Reeves?
No, I'm not.
He's the okay.
He's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah. What is that supposed to do for me?
I'm just like, the Muppets got this incredible actor to play Ebenezer Scrooge in a Muppets Christmas Carol. It blows my mind that he said yes to that. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
and he killed it.
Batman also got an incredible actor in Danny DeVito to play the Penguin. Okay. Doesn't make it a good movie.
We're back to penguins. Yeah. I don't even see it. Why is Batman being brought up with A Christmas Carol?
Because you just said they got a good actor doesn't mean it's a good movie.
I'm sorry, you're gonna put Danny DeVito up there. So
I was trying to I was trying to come up with a good one.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jim Carrey, other characters that play Batman characters.
Yeah. Anyway. Muppets just weirded me out. I actually tried to watch that once, but I think I watched it as an adult for the first time, and it's just like, this isn't funny, and it's not cool, and I just don't like it.
Now, there's a Pirates one.
Which we grew up watching.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
That one I have a little bit harder time. That's like a little bit tougher to rewatch.
Yeah. All of them, Paul, are hard to rewatch.
Now, I want to let you know that we just had a Muppets conversation, and I don't know how much he cut out of this, or how much he kept, but either way.
I like, honestly, Muppet Babies holds up more for me than the actual Muppets.
Yeah. It's just creepy.
They're funny. Gonzo gets shot out of a rocket. It's hilarious.
Why do I need to picture them as babies?
I don't know. Animals funny.
They're puppets.
Puppets can be babies.
They don't grow.
Are you serious?
Kermit the Frog has looked flawless for 50 plus years. The man never ages.
Speaking of age.
Transition.
What I wanted to talk about today, last episode, it took me a little bit to post it just because, I don't know, I was in my own head about it. There was just a lot that I was working through. And when I finally listened to it again, I'm like, oh, that I think it actually made sense. Afterwards, I was like, I don't know if I expressed what was really going on within myself. And the second theme of last episode was this idea of we grow up and we kind of hopefully find our vocation, what we're called to. And as adults, we start to recognize maybe things that we thought we've worked on, but they come to light more as you start to take your life seriously, as you're working on virtue, and especially as you're like sent into your little vocation machine of it is a virtue making machine.
Yeah.
Because every vocation is a gift of self. Mm-hmm. In some way, you are called to give yourself in some way to, in a spousal way. That was like the beauty of Theology of the Body, John Paul II, was explaining the detail of this spousal gift of self, whether it's to the church, whether it's to Christ himself, whether it's to your physical spouse in marriage. Mm-hmm. And in that gift of self, there is like this shedding of this outer bark of ourselves, this forming. And a lot of that I felt like for myself, I felt like I'd gone through in different periods of my life. High school, mm-hmm. when I first had this, like, you know, wow, there is more life. I should take things seriously. There's right. a lot I need to work on. College, when you're like, okay, well, I really need to start to take this seriously. Right.
There's more to life than this.
Yeah, and then we both got married in our 20s. Mm-hmm. As you like, oh, this is a big commitment. I need to start to even work deeper on this stuff. And then you feel like you're making progress. And then I think when I started to have kids, I'm like, wow, there is still a lot I need to work on that I thought I had worked on in these different periods of my life. But this idea of aging was something that was interesting to me. And I was reading The Brothers Karamazov like I have been, because it's like a 700-page book with 10-point font.
Right?
And there is a whole section or book of this kid who's a 13-year-old who wants everyone to know that he's turning 14 in a fortnight, which is what, 20 days? Like, is that what
a fortnight is? 2 weeks.
2 weeks, basically. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm going to be 14. But it's this whole idea of like trying to come off as you know more than you do. As you have a grasp on reality at a young age, it's something that maybe all of us went through. But it struck me as I was kind of going through this spiritual idea of still feeling like a kid in an adult's body.
Yeah.
And then reading this character, his name is Kolya, who's like acting like he's got it all figured out at 13 years old.
Right.
Which in Russian years at that time is really 20. Right.
Yeah. He's probably served in the army.
Did I set that up? Okay.
Yeah, I think you did a great job.
Okay. Because I didn't want to make this all about The Brothers Karamazov, mm-hmm. because I know that some people like it and have asked for that, Aiden. And some have like maybe been alienated by that.
Yeah, but I think it can be tough when you haven't read the book yourself. Yeah. You don't have the same attachment to characters, but I think the ideas that are expressed are timeless. It's mm-hmm. a classic book for a reason, and so we're just trying to share some of those insights.
So if you're just jumping in on this episode and you haven't listened to some of our other ones, the most basic thing I can say is this Russian novel from the 1800s, there's a father, Fyodor, who is murdered. And there's three sons. And the book basically traces the lives of these three sons. Their last name is Karamazov. That's why it's The Brothers Karamazov. Mm-hmm. And they all like are very passionate people and live that out in different ways. And Dostoevsky, the author, basically says that at our heart and at our core as humans, we're all Karamazovs, because we all like live on that passion sometimes, not mm-hmm. just instinct, but like there is a our knowledge and our will, what we're knowing and choosing in life, sometimes is like very raw, vulnerable in the moment, right?
Yeah, it definitely reveals the messiness of the human condition.
But also the beauty of the human condition, that like we do care so much about the things in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And the good things that are brought about through their search for meaning amidst the chaos.
I think because each of them struggles in a different way with passion. Mm-hmm. So the dad is just a drunken buffoon.
Right.
The oldest son is anger, but also kind of just a buffoon, just wanting everything immediately.
Right.
Wrath, envy, but also like deep love. Middle son is the classic doubter, atheist, smart person. And the youngest son, Alyosha, we mentioned before, is passionate about being present, I would say, to people, right?
Yeah.
Like seeing the good in everyone.
Yeah.
Like really just is wanting to experience Christ in every person and is the protagonist of the story. So the youngest son, as we said with before in a podcast, as he meets this woman, he becomes a mirror that she looks at and sees herself in her conscience. So Alyosha is kind of this Christ figure. And I would go back and listen to that episode. I don't even remember what it's called, but how Grushenka, this woman, sees what she's been doing to these people when she like sees Alyosha.
Yeah.
But in this story, the kid's name is Kolya, and he's kind of a this know-it-all in the town, a 13-year-old who's read some of his dad's books that thinks he knows more than he does. And there's this kid that is sick, one of his friends, this kid that he's almost been mentoring.
Yeah.
That Alyosha is also like taking part of. How do you describe this? Basically, Kolya, the 13-year-old, really has heard of Alyosha, this character in the town who is like seen as this this great kind of mystic and prophet who helps people understand who they are, who is a great man of love and knowledge, and people are drawn to him, as people normally are for people who have it like, why do you care so much? Why do you love so much? Like, you're drawn to that, and you want affirmation. You want to be noticed by that person.
Yeah.
That is our draw to Christ, really. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The heart of it. But Kolya is nervous about meeting Alyosha because Kolya, around his buddies and everything, he knows who founded Troy. It's an inside joke for anyone who's read the book, but he's the one who really understands and challenges the teacher and tries to like pants the teacher in front of the class. And he's making all these statements. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, we all know those kids. But yeah, he so desires not only to meet this man, but to portray this image of he has of himself as this enlightened intellectual who has it figured out. And I don't know, I think why we're both drawn to this section is we see ourselves in this child, and the many times in which we become so consumed with like the idea that we are smart and people knowing or seeing that we are, when in reality, we have nothing figured out.
And everyone is like that.
Yeah, no.
Even people that aren't like philosophically minded or literature, like, you know what I mean? The classics, right. Anyone wants to come off with the things they're passionate about. They want people to think that they know what they have.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just knowledge of basketball, we have that pride in us. Do you take my knowledge seriously about this?
Yeah.
But Kolya, his first interaction with Alyosha, he brings up like this rumor and he's like, you might've heard around town that I like played with like some like 10-year-olds and like we played horses, but like, that was just because like, I didn't want to, I didn't even have fun with it. Like I'm better than that.
Yeah.
And I love something that I want to bring up, a theme, is Alyosha's handling of the situation. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful the way that he just kind of leads him to it. And I think it's a good example of evangelization, of parenting, of teaching, of just like interacting with someone who's trying to figure out and like desperately wanting affirmation and love.
Yeah.
So his response, find it real quick. He's like, this is gossip around the town. I was not trying to play with these kids. And he goes, but what if you had been playing for your own amusement? What's the harm? Like just a simple, like, even just acknowledging like, hey, I'm okay that you did that. It doesn't matter. You're a kid. You should do that. But also his next paragraph is like, look at the grownups. They're doing the same exact thing. They're just calling them grown-up jobs. People are going to the theater. They're acting. They're playing. They're role playing. Mm-hmm. And we're working so hard in life just to get to a point where we can play and have leisure. We're telling kids to not have leisure. This is a part of Augustine's Confessions. We're telling all these kids to not play and have leisure and work hard so that later in life they can be kids and play and have leisure. But what's wrong with having healthy leisure with your life? Yeah. If you enjoy playing, go play. Why do you care about what other people are thinking? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And I've got, just throughout this chapter, I've just got cues written about every couple paragraphs or whatever, because it is, Alyosha just... not undoes him, but reveals his true heart.
Yeah.
These are just questions. And again, that is a great avenue. And what I tell my students when we're talking about evangelization or someone asks you about their faith, you want to just jump in and like give a response or prove that you know as well. When in reality, like I think we all need the humility, both the child in this, but Alosha as well, just like this idea that a question can kind of just get to the heart of why. And so.
And you could tell Alosha, he respects him. He's not just like condescending to him.
Right.
He like, no, like, tell me why.
He showed, yeah, it's genuine care. It's not, he's not just leading him astray or, you know, stringing him along and like leading him into a trap. And that's what I tell the kids when we talk about apologetics or defending our faith. That's not what you're doing. You're like, you're investing in the person. You're trying to understand why they believe what they believe.
Yeah.
And then having a conversation about it. And so.
I think that's been big as a teacher saying like, in my mind, understanding you're 16, you have not studied this, but also you have experience in your life. Mm-hmm. You're drawing from stuff that you think that is real to you. Your perception and idea of God and religion might not be as well thought out, but like as maybe the way that I have done it, but it doesn't make it invalid. And I think Alyosha sees that, like, mm-hmm. Kolya, like, let's get to, yeah, like, I want to learn more about why you believe these things.
Yeah. And I think to flip it as well, if you're that person, and again, we all are we're all Kolya when we're in front of someone who maybe we have high respect for or is showing that they have a greater knowledge on a subject that we care about. Instead of just like, and Kolya eventually, I think, kind of figured this out, but also at the heart of it, he wants to know Alosha more. Mm-hmm. I think, again, to flip it in the opposite role, it's good to also have the humility from the other side and like mm-hmm. to be willing to admit that like, I don't know as much as you. Like,
yeah.
How did you come to that conclusion? Or like, oh, you have a greater knowledge of basketball. Like, you know, get to know the individual and use that as an avenue as well.
Yeah.
And I think both parties can grow from that. And I think that's the beauty of the humanity and the relationship aspect, mm-hmm. both with Christ and other, that at the center of it is the humility to receive, to be open, to engage.
Yeah.
And so.
And there's like this climb in their conversation that I think happens. Like mm-hmm. at first it's more of like, you might've heard kind of about me, but that's not true. And then it gets into like the more I've heard about you and I have this preconception of how you are and how you're going to take me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard you're a mystic and you believe in this whole God thing. And he's like, that doesn't bother me that much. He says, contact with real life is going to cure you. That is like I don't know. The thoughts that he has as a 13-year-old,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's almost a cynicism that we're seeing as well as our high school kids.
Yeah.
Like, once you finally understand the real life, like you actually go out and live in the real world, you realize that all this religion stuff is made up. And he has this and he goes, well, what do you mean by a mystic? Cure me of what? Alyosha's like, doesn't just like let him, like he presses him on it.
Yeah.
And our students get really upset when we ask like questions of like, well, why? Like, what do you mean why? Like, when we start digging, like the defenses go up.
Yeah.
And actually I was listening to a podcast last night and there's this idea of like helping people let their guards down, but not like in a violent way. You're not just going and ripping these things off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was a John of the Cross quote that they said that just struck me. It was like loving these boundaries down.
Oh, that's cool.
That God loves these things away. He's not like ripping them away. He loves you in a response where you want to like strip this away, be vulnerable. And I think that's what he's doing in this situation. He goes, okay, well, you want to attack me? I'll take that. Mm-hmm. You think I'm silly? Well, why is this a fraud? Or what do I need to be cured of? And he starts to like kind of, well, I have nothing against God. He's just a hypothesis for the order. We need him for the order of the universe, whatever. And he's like, he starts to say, well, I think it's possible to love people without like God. And he starts like to quote Voltaire. Like, I think Voltaire didn't believe in God and he loved humanity. And she's like, did he though? Have you read Voltaire? He goes, well, no, but like,
yeah.
I read like one like satire by him. It's just like, he starts to like pick at these things. And eventually he's like, well, I'm a socialist. Like he started to try to like justify his position to Alyosha. Like, I've done enough. Like maybe I haven't read all of Voltaire. That was maybe off comment or off the cuff, but I'm a socialist. And he goes, a socialist? When do you even have time to become one? You're only 13. And Kolya winces because that's like a wound to him. He doesn't want to be seen as a little kid. He wants mm-hmm. to be seen as an adult. Because I'm not 13, I'm 14. I'm 14 in a fortnight. I don't know why I just love that. He goes, I'm at a complete loss to understand what my age has to do with it. The question is, what are my convictions, not what is my age? And this is, I think, something that I wanted to sit with a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's why are you pressing me on my age. It's not my age, it's my convictions. And Alyosha says, you'll understand for yourself the influence of age on convictions when you get older. And it's this idea of perspective, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I've been working through is, I think I felt like I had it figured out.
Yeah.
I got my degree. I found my vocation. I got a job. And you feel like, what do you mean? I got everything figured out. I know everything I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Rich Seeley worked here when I first started, and he was 10 years older than me, had a couple kids already, had been in the teaching field. And there's like, I think I almost like Kolya, I looked to him like, what is this like? But I think just seeing him and seeing where I was at, there was something that I needed to learn from him.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't have this all figured out. And I think his perspective at 31 at that time or 32, now that I'm at age, I understand that.
I think as I'm reading through this narrative and as he almost seemingly plants his flags on these different ideas that he's like attained the mountaintop for. It's like, well, I don't believe in God. And then like mm-hmm. how easily he's just kind of like, it's revealed to him maybe how silly that is. And then he's like, well, socialist. And I just think back to my own life and how many times, you know, I kind of planted that flag like, oh, I've got it figured out, or this is what I want in life and this. And then like, I don't know, we've used the example of like this pursuit of truth is this like mountain. You're climbing this mountain. And so it's like you attain one peak and you sometimes you can either look down at people that you perceive as beneath you
mm-hmm.
and as this idea of like, look at what I've done, mm-hmm. like how foolish you are. But if you never look upwards again and realize that there are people in your life who know more, have seen more, or there's more out there, this the knowledge to be gained and the humility to look up and to continue the climb, you can find yourself just frustrated and shattered when you realize maybe how daunting it is that how far I have to go,
mm-hmm.
but also how beautiful it is that, again, like we have people in our lives, or if you can attain that humility to realize that like, no, at no point in my life, even when I'm 45, do I think, or should I think that I've got it figured out, that mm-hmm. I can't gain anything else or receive anything else or come to have a greater understanding of my vocation or grow in holiness, you know?
Yeah.
And so, well, yeah.
Even in that analogy, like having the humility to look up, and there's people that have climbed farther that are mm-hmm. going to show us the path. But like when we do look down, it's not in a way of like, look at you guys still down there. It's like, hey, I took this path. Like you're yelling down to them, like
mm-hmm.
wanting them to also find what you have found. If I'm looking down, it's because I want to show them these ways. And actually, some of the tension that I was trying to work through is I don't want to say like, you got to be an adult to figure things out. Like, mm-hmm. St. Therese is always something that comes to my mind, and we did a podcast on this. There's a balance of like having that healthy curiosity as a kid. And like for her, for the mountain, it's why do I need to climb the stairs when God can just make an elevator for me? You know, like there's a simplicity to it. And I don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like I need experience and knowledge and I'm going to climb the mountain myself. Like, I think once we get more experience and knowledge, we realize we can't climb the mountain ourselves mm-hmm. and we need to be more like Therese. Like, so there's like a weird thing in it, like of when Alyosha is saying like, you'll realize your age will help you. Almost your age helps you because you realize I can't do this by myself. As 13 mm-hmm. year old Kolya is like, I have this all figured out. I'm doing it by myself. I'm willing my own good. Did any of that make sense?
And I think also just the natural experiences of life are going to reveal these things to you. It's not a matter of like, I'm going to will myself up this mountain. It's just like, as you age, if you have the humility and the understanding of the journey and the end goal, right, in mind, right, this seems like, it doesn't seem like a burden. It seems tethered by this purpose and meaning. And so each time you attain something or you have this revelation, it's all for not only the greater glory of God, but for this continued pursuit. You're like, you're joyful. You want to share it with others, but you want to keep, receiving the wisdom of God and others mm-hmm. around you. And, I just think I just see myself in my youth of just like planting these flags on ideologies, but I never had like an end goal or purpose or meaning. So like now that I look back and I'm like, oh gosh, those were not necessarily like they were wasted, but at the idea that I was like, I had no idea how lost I was because there wasn't like a purpose and meaning.
It yeah.
was just like, I was grasping out into the dark to try to find an ideology that was going to define me.
Yeah. All right. So there's no easy way to transition. We had to stop because the 8-hour final was starting, but we're jumping back in. I think there's maybe like two more things that I want to talk about.
Let's do it too.
As it kind of pertains to all this. Kolya gets upset when he kind of challenges him, like, where are you learning about this from? Because this can't just be from you. And he kind of takes offense to it. He's like, no, like, this is my own original thought. I can think for myself. I think that's like a secular motto too. Like, just think for yourself. Don't listen to, not necessarily even your parents. Don't listen to like moral voices almost. Mm-hmm. When they're trying to tell you that this is what's right and this is what's wrong. Like think for yourself. Yep. You know better than this.
Be a free thinker.
Be a free thinker. Yeah. Throw off the shackles of religion and of people telling you you're bad or like you have a conscience. No, like think for yourself. That's straight out of the Enlightenment. That makes sense for this book. But that's Immanuel Kant. Sapere aude, dare to think, which really meant just like think for yourself, throw away the priests, throw away all these people. So he's kind of has this idea of, what do you mean? I get to think for myself, which I want to ask you on, because I think there is a healthy thinking for yourself. Right, you don't want to just take everything blindly. Mm-hmm. We're a sponge. We are a sponge. We soak everything up. We think we have these original thoughts, but so much of it has come from the environment around us.
Right. I mean, just as a human, you have to receive them from someone.
It's ignorant to think that I've come up with all this on my own.
Right.
I think there's something of the ignorance that leads to arrogance on Kolya's part. I think there's something about all of us were ignorant as kids. We thought we knew more than we could, and that's okay. That's what being a kid is. But it's mm-hmm. the arrogance that can come with it that we need to avoid.
Yeah.
It's okay to not have all the answers, but to recognize, like, to go from ignorance as a kid and realizing I don't know these things, and I need to come to know these things. Mm-hmm. I need to learn from people.
Yeah.
But I just love how he's cut himself off. He's like, I'm thinking for myself. What do you mean? I became a socialist just on my own. Like,
right. And it's not only is it just a recognition of the need, but again, we come back to humility again. I think free thinking, you know, the idea that you cannot and should not receive anything from maybe authoritative figure or from tradition or from a moral light. I think it's short-sighted to think that I'll will it, I'll figure it out, I'll bring about my knowledge in my own way. I think to be... you have to take a healthy approach. You want to mm-hmm. receive it, but you want to receive it blindly. You want to be critical of it, but you also want to read it all within the light of the truth that we've received. Not only with the truth of Christ, but also just discerning when someone tells me something and they're very convicted about it, and wow, that's super convincing. And don't just take it and regurgitate it without sitting with it, trying to understand why they think and say that they do, and taking it and not matching it against, but like reading it against other experiences and thoughts and things. And in our pursuit of this one truth, I mean, you're taking on all these different influences, but you've got to distill them down and sort through them. And we see this all the time, and we're guilty of it ourselves. You just see something, you hear something that's super convincing and witty, and you just like grab onto it. Or we have students where, you have students that have an opinion on Carter's administration as a president, and you're just, there's no way that you've...
As a 14-year-old, you know a lot about Jimmy Carter's presidency.
It's like, why are you trashing on Jimmy Carter right now? Like, and that's just something they've received from they've heard at home.
Or just like within the culture.
Or within,
like, if they're a conservative or a liberal, things within the culture of like, this is what you should believe as this.
Right. Or, the other thing is you've got those polar extremes. Everything's so politicized. Yeah. So it's like I'm only listening to and regurgitating what is coming from the approved talking heads. And
pretty much right away, I love his defense come down to, because Alyosha is like, what fool have you like learned this from? And finally, he reveals it was Rakitin, who was the one, if you listen to our other podcast, who took Alyosha to Grushenka to try to get him to fall into lust. So like this guy who was like been manipulated, he's just had his little hands into every little thing here. He's like, well, I guess, I heard it from this guy. And also from this other like Bylinsky, I don't know who that is. But Alyosha's like, Bylinsky, I don't think he ever said that anywhere. Well, if he didn't write it, I think he said it. Someone heard it once. Like, he's like just grasping at all these different things.
If he didn't say it, he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Or he should have.
And I wanted to say something before my last point, the think for yourself thing. That's the whole point of like, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We're standing on what has come before us. And sometimes they were wrong and that's how we learn. But like, it's ignorant to think that we shouldn't take into account the millions of humans that have gone before us. And even reading this book, Dostoevsky, to say that I can't learn something from him is to be ignorant.
Right.
Like I just looked up some more of his story. He had a 3-year-old son named Alyosha who died at 3 years old from like an illness, which makes so much more sense of why Alyosha is like this hero in his book, but also why that kid Alyosha is dying. And you see the father just going crazy watching his son die. Yeah. You don't think I can learn something from this dad who is filled with grief writing this book? Like, that's silly. But I don't know. It's just
No, I think that's a great point. Well, I guess when I said short-sighted, ignorance is probably the better way to put that, right? This, you can become, it's in some ways, to become open-minded, you can actually become ignorant and block out, right, voices and things, because you said that I don't need that. I can't learn from that. I can't receive anything from that. And so it's ironic how, unfortunately, those people who see themselves as so open-minded are so often very much just like a product of an echo chamber of a very limited scope of thinking.
Yeah. So eventually he gets to a point, because I haven't read it yet, but I want to read it. I have no prejudices, Karamazov. I want to hear both sides. So like he's finally opening up, like, okay, I respect you. You've called me out on my stuff right now. I do want to hear both sides. I know I come off this way. And then he asked him, do you have contempt for me? Basically, you've been kind of challenging me, pushing me a little bit. And like, are you picking up what I'm putting down? Or are we not cool? He's like, I have a contempt for you. What for? I'm only sad that a charming nature such as yours should be perverted by all this crude nonsense before you've begun life. He's like, I have no contempt for you. You know, I'm just watching you right now, sad because I know what this can lead to. Mm-hmm. And I know how much, I don't know, what there is in store for you.
Yeah, and it feels like, his heart aches because he's missing out on the joy of childhood. He's like looking past the present moment and opportunities and he's worried himself with the concerns of the world, which aren't necessarily a bad thing, but it can rob you of being present to like his school children, his friends, you know, or he can be so concerned with image of being perceived as a socialist, because that's like the in thing right now, for adults, that he's robbing himself, and he's already skewed towards the world. And he's formed this opinion as a 14-year-old that's robbing it of so much joy.
And there's that part where he's like, I think classical languages are dumb. And then one of the boys like, you're the best in Latin in the class. He's like, well, just because my mom wants me to be. But it kind of like, it slowly goes on. And Alyosha just asks these like short little sentences. And the chapter is like paragraph of Kolya, the 13-year-old, sentence by Alyosha, paragraph. It's him like working through it. And I don't know, Alyosha just being that voice that we need that normally comes through prayer. Like that is like what prayer can be sometimes. God is sitting there as this listener, this lover, this person who cares and reveals ourselves.
Yeah.
And reveals us to ourselves.
And I think that's often how he reveals himself, is in those like probing movements of the heart that are like a question that Alyosha asks that just kind of undoes everything, or as that St. John of the Cross like loves down those walls. You're just like, oh, I see. And it's like a beautiful way of just like such a gentle and loving way to kind of reveal what's actually happening.
He finally basically says that he admits that he's unhappy. He regrets kind of the way that he's put off things in his life, why he didn't come to see his sick friend earlier, why he didn't come to see Alyosha earlier. He talks about being overly sensitive, and Alyosha's like, it's just, you're a product of your environment right now. It's sad that this is happening all around you, and it's happening to you as well. And he's sad because this is happening to people. There's a great thing right at the end. He says, you are like everyone else. This is Alyosha saying this to Kolya. That is like very many others, only you must not be like everybody else. That's all. Even if everyone else is like that, yes. Even if everyone else is like that, you be the only one not like it. You really are not like everyone else. Here, you're not ashamed to confess something bad and even ridiculous. Who will admit so much in these days? No one. And people have even ceased to feel the impulse to self-criticism. Don't be like everyone else, even if you're the only one. And there's this moment, I think, where Kolya feels relieved. He goes, splendid, like, finally. And he kind of speaks just from the heart there. He's like, this has been a conversation of love. Like this is, and then he's kind of feeling ashamed, and he sees Alyosha kind of getting embarrassed almost, like he's blushing because he's embarrassed of how much Kolya is expressing love for him. But he's like, who cares if this is all ridiculous right now? Can't you admit that this conversation was good? Because Kolya is like, I'm sorry that I kind of spoke out of turn, basically, that I said that this has been like a declaration of love. This has been a loving conversation. He goes, who cares at the end of the day? Even if what you're saying is ridiculous right now, this was a good thing that had happened.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
No. I love that chapter. And it's just amazing, how this is a, 700, 800 page book. just like 4 pages. You can just kind of mine the depths of that.
Yeah. I do. He just goes, you will be very unhappy in your life at the end. To Koya. Like, I think just being honest. Like,
yeah.
Because you are a prophet. Yeah. I probably will be. There's a lot that I need to work through. Cool beans.
Any shouts? I want to shout out Scott Vogel's son, the famous Josh Vogel, assistant track coach at Carbondale High School. Also a student at SIU.
Nice. Well done, Josh.
He came in, so it's nice of him to get out of bed around 2 o'clock and come in and say hi to us. I missed getting a chance to see Teddy Johnson. Hope he's doing well. Violently ill, so I didn't really want to expose everyone else who's playing hockey to that.
I just shout out to our admin, actually. They did a lot this semester to keep things going, to Chris McGraw, Lauren Booth, Sean Foster.
Legends.
Just all the support and all they've been doing. Thank you.
And yeah, hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. And
heck yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.